Welcome to Power Health Radio. Thanks a lot for doing this interview. And both Phil Morton, myself, and Nahani, and Power Health Radio. For people who don't know who you are, you're one of the top naturopaths in Canada and healers. You have a company called Life Choice, which supplies a really, really fine product, and you've been healing people for a very long time. So thanks for being on the show. How did you get started as a healer?
Oh, well, I seen at a young age when I was probably in my teens, early teens, I seen family members that were coming down with disease in such a quick state, and just seeing their rapid decline from well-being to a state of disease, I just seen the disease connection. And even at that age, and I said, this isn't normal. There's something not right here. And I always was intrigued to learn more and to study how I could figure out that gap of time and what could be done during that gap of time to prevent this from happening.
So right from the get-go, you already had concern and really kind of you came out of a desire to help and heal people, which, by the way, I only bring that up because, I mean, so many people go into medicine for money, but I have yet to meet a naturopath who hasn't gone into it for the sake of healing, and usually has undergone some kind of physical or spiritual transformation as well in the process, and then wants to help others. But you were born into it in a sense, and by the way, we're glad you are here. Later on, we'll be talking a little bit about the various trials and tribulations you've been through in the process. In one of your articles, you write, "The world is a beautiful place, and generally people's hearts are good. On the other hand, many live their lives amassing fortunes. Helping others is the furthest from their minds." And I guess that's true for some people. It certainly isn't for the naturopaths and the healers that I've met, or Phil. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we just went to the conference last weekend, met a lot of wonderful
people. Yes, we were at the CHFA in Canada, which is the Canadian Health Food Association, where all of the top healers and manufacturers of supplements in Canada come under one roof for one day in Canada. It was an amazing event. And we met Eldon there. We met so many others. And the single unifying thing about all of these people is their deep desire to heal and help others. It raises the energy when you're in the room. It's so great to walk up to everyone who's so inspired with all of their great products and the limitations sometimes that the government has on what they can say, which is very frustrating. But Eldon was recognized by the CHFA itself at this event as one of the noted healers in that entire organization. So we're very, very excited to have you on the show and hear your thoughts on healing and how to stay healthy, or if you've lost your health, how to refind it.
Yeah, that was given by the Contact Canada, and they're an organization that runs mostly of the trade journals, and they pick from a selection of Canadians a few a year. And most of the people are founders of supplement companies or have been in the industry for many years, and they're really called out for certain service. But I don't see myself as something great. I just see I'm a simple fellow with a few good ideas and abilities. And I just have my desire to take what I have learned and take it to a further level. But I was actually born in this industry. my mother took me to naturopaths as a child, and that was the way that we thought. I was never vaccinated, and other than my siblings, and it was just a way of life, a mindset. And if it's given at a young age, then you just take it as the norm.
And you owned a health food store for a while, isn't that true?
Yeah, I had a health food store and a clinic in the 80s. And then I just went into this business and started pouring myself into really after I attended an anti-aging conference in Monaco with some of the great healers of that day. And some of them are still around now, Ward Dean and some of the others. And it was a fascinating thing to see the people and the healers of that day. Even back then in the 80s, they were saying that 70% of the public were thyroid deficient. So you can imagine now.
Wow.
There is an epidemic. We talked to Dr. Whitaker, and he said there's absolutely an epidemic in things like diabetes and thyroid problems, mostly brought about by the horrid diets and foods that we are ingesting, not just the GMOs, but the endless amounts of corn syrup. We can't find almost any good food and nowadays. It's getting harder and harder. And yet you concentrate on this idea. For example, we talked about quality, and you're very you seem to be very very focused on the excellence of the product that you are producing in your company and have been for a long time. Recently, in the papers here in Toronto, in the Toronto Star, on the front page there was a whole article on the impact of various pharmaceutical drugs on children that are being given these drugs for ADD, supposed ADD, ADHD. One 7-year-old girl had a heart attack. 11-year-old boys committing suicide, and yet, really having horrendous side effects. And here's Health Canada, the agency that's supposed to protect us from these things, perfectly approving these particular products, and yet going after the naturopathic industries. It's an outrage, and it's something that we want to bring to the attention of the people so people start waking up and we can start instigating some change. You write, how does one proceed in facing their Goliath? How are we to know if we have the faith and determination necessary to conquer? Sometimes we discover our true strengths when we see how our pathways has been led. If we examine our footsteps, we'll come to the realization that the power that guided was rising up from within a place we never knew existed. I like that very much, because really what it talks about is like digging deep inside of one's body and soul to find the solution. Talking about a thyroid, for example, you talk a great deal about that. And you say there is a kind of epidemic now. And what kinds of things do you have that help with this sort of thing?
Well, I think what actually causes the thyroid is something that needs to be discussed perfectly well. We know that our world is very toxic, and the power structure that controls our disease industry knows very well. And from the moment we're born, we're clients. Until we die on our deathbed, when we take a first vaccine to the medication in our deathbed, we're clients of that industry. And we really don't ever focus on the health and the prevention and live our lives in a normal state, because I think in our disease state society, it's so overwhelming that we forgot that health should be our status quo. You know, the sad thing, I believe, is that we've forgotten what normal health feels like, because we just allow our bodies to function at an uneasy state, which I call dis-ease, and we probably enter the best part of our life, the first 30 minutes of birth, and after that, we start accepting whatever conditions we have, and we just say, well, it's all part of the aging process, like headaches and muscle aches and loss of hair and eyeglasses at 40. I've been told that when I was in a doctor around 50, some 55, oh, you should add your eyeglasses at 40. I'm thinking, my response is to fight this assumed delusion as hard as you can. Because we live, we live our lives into old age. We should be doing it disease-free and in excellent health. And it's all a matter of making the right choices and being aware of really what's going on.
Eldon, I have a question for you. This is Nahani. Do you think, just on the topic of eyeglasses, and I think that's a perfect sort of subject to talk about briefly, that we do all accept that, well, you get to a certain age and you need to get those glasses. Do you think that this is one of those things that can be corrected with maybe a lifestyle change or a diet change or some supplement so that we don't have to just accept that type of aging, like our eyesight going at whether it's 45 or 50. What do you think about that?
I think we should live healthy till our 90s. And I think that we accept these things as just a normal trend because we're conditioned to believe so. Every ad you read in magazines about feel good, and you just bypass the next two pages of side effects. And we forget that, you know, when we have in our arteries, when we take these type of inorganic foods, we get plaque on our arterial walls. We get plaque within our brain. We get oxidation within our eyes, and we get glaucoma early. And we just think, oh well, we'll just accept that. And it's just, well, I'm 55, 60. What do you expect? My father-in-law used to say, after 40, if you don't feel something, you better check, for you may already be dead.
Well,
so this
oxidation
is
in the eyes. You said oxidation in the eyes. It's something that comes from just a lifestyle of the way we eat and the things we put in our bodies.
Well, yeah. We can't just isolate one thing and say, well, our eyes should be diminishing and our teeth should be falling out in our hair. And, well, we can't. I mean, why do we do those things? We just accept them without challenging them and fighting it tooth and nail.
And what are some of your thoughts about finding normal, tuning into what normal is? Because that's such a powerful concept. And I've never heard anyone express it exactly that way. And I think anybody hearing that will want to grasp onto that. It's like a tuning fork moment. You hit the tuning fork and everybody vibrates with the same frequency. Like, yes, that makes sense. I want to find normal again. I want to be healthy. How do you guide people back towards that?
Well, I think awareness and prevention is the big thing. So I would say, of course, you have to read your labels when you eat your food. And you need the basics, like at least 8 hours of restful sleep. How many you get that? And proper fluid intake, so you can flush out all the toxins. How many drink the adequate amount of fluid? And I'm not talking sugary drinks and coffee. That doesn't count. Every cup of coffee, you need two cups of water, clear water, clean water, to restore what you've just flushed out. And then how many actually fill their lungs each time you breathe?
Wow, good point.
Really good point. Look how many people live on coffee. I mean, I'm guilty of that, and I know that I can feel my body shift when I drink too much coffee and I start to break out in a rash. So that is a really good, it's just simple, sometimes just a simple shift can make a big difference.
And I'll share that when I met Dr. Dahl in Canada and we were chatting, we talked about health, he looked at me and he went, you need to drink 12 cups of water a day. And I was like, wow, that's like a career, 12 cups of water a day.
Can't go far.
Part-time job of just drinking water, but
well, how about look at this example? Say you got your laundry basket in your washing machine full of clothes, and you pour into there one cup of water, and you want to clean your laundry. How is that going to work?
Well, that's a very good point.
Good point, and so simple when you put it that way.
You know, it's interesting that people think that aspirin is some kind of a dietary supplement. You know, we've gotten to such a point where people are popping aspirins on a daily basis as if there was an aspirin tree somewhere and it's perfectly acceptable. And all the products that are out there that are now part of our, world that we just accept as being normal when in fact it's incredibly artificial. So going back to this idea of normal, how can we find normal? In a situation where, in a sense, everything is out of whack, everything is out of balance. And this really is the task that, we're trying to give ourselves to try to get the right information out to the people and how to maintain health. And this is really the task. But there seems to be so much resistance to it, and particularly not just from certainly pharmaceutical companies. I mean, vaccination, for example, now seems to be absolutely accepted standard stuff, and not doing vaccination is almost like the a heresy. When there's a, and people go, in fact, there's a whole, there's a whole movement that, about that's aware of the fact that vaccination is really definitely causing some very serious problems. But the general kind of governmental thing is, you've got to vaccinate your kids. In fact, schools, if you don't vaccinate your kids, some schools won't let your kids go to school. And the vaccinations are done at school. So there's this huge move. To overwhelm everybody.
Nick, you're very brave to even bring that up, because I tell you, it's so, people have gotten so insanely, angry about this topic that vaccination becomes something that it's taboo to even say that. And I didn't vaccinate my children because I wasn't vaccinated, and I don't see any problem with it at all. But it's, I agree with you, Nick. It's like an assault on our health.
But I know some top medical. Medical are very well known. Everybody would know their name if I mentioned it. That I know do not vaccinate their children, but they recommend, because they would lose sponsorship, that they to vaccinate, because it's a hidden taboo. You do not say those things out there, because you'll be noted as a radical, and any sponsorship will be cut off.
And you get starved out of the system. You write in this particular essay that domination is achieved through fear and intimidation, and that the Canadian U.S. governments are prime examples. There's a tremendous amount of domination and intimidation. I would hasten to add inculcation or propaganda. Most of the information that's going out there most of the time, in these commercials and so forth, seems to create this picture of a world in which drugs are now just part of the normal course of existence.
It's
the
brainwashing. It's brainwashing.
It is kind of like 1984 beyond, right?
Oh, yeah.
Soma, right?
Well, like these subtle messages that they used to play during the 60s when you'd watch a movie. They'd throw all these things there, and you'd get this hunger to run to the snack bar and everything. Well, that's what we've accepted, because we are so far out of touch with the person we are within. We're not ever in a place, really, where we're in a quiet spot where we can recognize the spirit within ourselves. That knows what normal feels like. They knows that plumb line that we should be living our life under. But we are so busy and involved with the TV on, or with the smartphone, or with something stuck in one orifice or another of our bodies that we just cannot sit down and be in a quiet spot and really examine our life where we want to be. And we accept all these things. And we live our life in a stressed environment because we're not even aware that we're stressed to the yin-yang.
Alvin, would you say that one of the most important things you can do for your health is just to try to simplify your life and have some of that quiet time where you can actually feel what you feel like inside and feel your body and get it, that would be maybe a place to start besides the 12 glasses of water?
I think what we have to do is have a time throughout our day, whatever time that may be, and to have a place where it's your time, no one else's. You can get your children, put your children to sleep, your partner doing what they enjoy, but take your time where you're alone and you can just reflect inside, because we forget that we are body, soul, and spirit. We don't want to think about the spirit side of us, but we are spirit beings.
Yeah, I think we're even spirit first. I've noticed that most of my health problems have come from stress of one form or another. And I have a couple of kids. I'm a mom. And I know that the doctors have never seemed to give me any sort of anything I can do just to keep my children healthy. It's either antibiotics or nothing. What would you say to mothers with children? How can we keep our children healthy throughout the year without having to resort to some kind of antibiotic when they get a cold?
I have a program that I came up with, and I don't mind sharing, that whenever my kids used to get maybe a cold or a flu symptom, I've noticed something, or they come home and say their friend was this, that, and the other is sick, this, I would say, okay, now it's our shooter, our adult shooter.
And, Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, we take some clean water that's reverse osmosis or something clean, and then we put in there 50 drops of echinacea the first time. Then I take 20 drops of bee propolis, and I then take 20 drops of golden seal. And then I have I have oil of oregano. I put, depending on the age of the child.
Because, yeah, they don't like that strong stuff.
Oh, no, they don't like it. So I put in a minimum of three drops, and then I have calcium ascorbate, which is a buffered vitamin C, a half a teaspoon. And then I balance that off with some raw apple cider vinegar, about a tablespoon, and then some sodium bicarbonate, which takes the acidity away, so they're not going to gag at the flavor. It just neutralizes the acid. And usually within a day, it breaks and they're back to normal. A day on that.
Wow, thank you for that.
Great formula. I am going to incorporate that. That is awesome. How much of the sodium bicarbonate? Is it half a teaspoon also?
I just put in, you'll put it into the C mixture with the apple cider vinegar and it'll start to bubble. So I put about a minute, about a quarter to half a teaspoon.
I've used apple cider vinegar for so many things. It also clears up rashes instantly. Any kind of skin thing, I think the apple cider vinegar is great for. Those are all things that are easy to have and easy to stock, and anybody can use them.
No side effects.
No need prescription for any of that yet.
Yeah. And you know, and stuff like this has been used for, you know, generations. I mean, thousands of years. We've been using herbs and plants for healing, and that all of a sudden, in present time, you know, they're trying to stop this. I mean, Bill C-36, the recent UPLAR here in Canada, which is taking vitamins, herbs, and supplements off the shelf, which was reversed, the Bill C-51. But the Codex Alimentarius, United Nations, standardizing every vitamin and herb and bringing it down to levels that will have no impact, spreading like an octopus around the planet. And there was a definite move on, Dr. Eldon, that people are being stopped. I mean, Australia, New Zealand, there are certain things you can't find anymore. You can only get them through prescription. They're making it progressively harder for people to heal. What do you think is behind that?
Well, I think the greatest threat to really the whole health food industry in the world, the natural health industry, is the availability of quality raw materials. Now, the drug pharmaceutical companies skim off probably about 80% of the top raw materials in the world. And I have this from many sources, and especially after for amino acids from after Fukushima in Japan, which had one of the top forms of amino acids, they're very, very difficult to find. And unless you have a long-standing relationship and business relationship with these companies, they won't sell it to you. And so China has entered the market in a big way with the way that they process they don't use a fermentation method normally. They use an extraction method, which uses about three to seven enzymes instead of 10 to 30 enzymes in a longer period of time, but you don't have the potency. So you have a licensed product with an NPN on the shelf, but the product has not the therapeutic value or efficacy that it should have.
And how would the people know that? I mean, the general public would certainly not know the difference. They see it there, and they figure they're getting something for their money. But in fact, in some cases, and progressively more cases, they're getting less and less.
Actually, more detrimental to their health. Actually, taking some of these supplements will actually do yourself more harm than good. And I think that's also a real problem that needs to be directed, that the consumer needs to go to and the suppliers have to answer up and say, this is what we do, and show that they actually do that and ask their raw material suppliers, I want the best of the best. I don't want something that I have a one-page C of A, certificate of analysis, but where does it start from? Is it from human sewage? A lot of taurine starts from human sewage.
Oh, my God.
And taurine is fortified in bread. I have a statement from Ajinomoto, one of the largest companies, saying that their product is non-irradiated and does not contain sewage, sludge. Now, that doesn't give me any warm and fuzzies when I think of eating sewage sludge.
Well, following in that same vein, and this is clearly a threat to the market, as Nick was asking, what do you see as the biggest challenges to health nationally that people need to watch out for? We know diabetes is on the upswing. You know, what big pictures do you see in terms of health of the nation that people should watch out for so they don't become a statistic?
There'll be a few major pandemics. There already are, and that is, and I'm writing a study on this right now, the disease connection between our diet and type 2 diabetes and dementia and Alzheimer's. So it's and the young people are getting this too. So it's not something that you say, well, it's only for the old age. No, it's not. It's for young people. Their insulin levels are all messed up because of the sugary drinks that they're giving and all the hidden sugars, like you said, Nick, at the beginning, all this corn syrups and all this genetically modified foods. And it's just a real shame of seeing how our bodies are being weakened on a daily basis. And then we have all the radiation that's still coming through. The Fukushima, we're still getting the radiation. No one's talking about it, but we're still getting the radiations coming through within the wind when it blows. And so our thyroid is major coming under. Our liver is becoming toxic. Our adrenal glands are shutting down. Our thyroid is. So all these factors are in play. And then when you have a diet that is has no nutrients, I remember Dr. Shackley from the Shackley Vitamin says, not what you eat is going to kill you. It's what you don't take in that will do you the most harm. So that's very powerful to me. Is you can eat a lot of things, but you have to make sure you take the right components to give you the nutrients that your body needs.
Now, Eldon, as a naturopath, you have ways to detox people from all the toxic stuff that's in the air, the aluminum that may be floating down on us, and all the various things that are in the system that will help people, if they detox from this stuff, maybe help them absorb nutrients better?
Oh, definitely. I haven't released this study because I'm still waiting on some final licensing. And once I do, we have a program that are going to aim to reverse these things, because it's not, you can't just take the body one organ. You have to take and deal with the body holistically. And so medical science today, allopathic medicine deals with a Band-Aid effect, and they deal with symptomatic recovery. And so they'll look at the person and they'll identify it with a disease name, and from there they'll just treat that cause, and they'll give a drug and another drug and another drug, and before you know it, the whole body is shutting down, and the people are in fear because if they lose their medication, they feel that they're going to die.
But it's the opposite sometimes.
Well, sometimes it's those are the very things that are killing you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just noticed that you are one of. Are you the only person to carry Kava Kava?
We were. It took us 3 years to go through all the licensing requirements and to prove the efficacy by performing clinical studies and giving all the evidence for it and being rejected totally 3 different times. But I knew that when I first read about Kava Kava study that came out of Germany, and they said that it was attacking the liver, that something's not right, because here in Germany, when they were doing this study, they had about, I think they were selling at that time probably $30,000 or $300,000 worth in the country of CABA, and they were having these effects. But in the States, there was a $30 million business. There was not one complaint. Now, that would tell you something. And so I started to say, well, this is not right, because when they did their bust on us, like Nick was saying, when we were raided, they actually said that CABA could cause death. And so I
maybe if a few crates of it fell on you.
Well, that's what they said. If you it caused death, and they put it up in a Health Canada warning, and it went national, actually international. And of course, my company was listed on that as being the source that could kill you. And so I said, "The hell with this." I'm sorry about that, but I said I'm going to study this. And so I studied it and studied it. And now our license says that it's actually calmative, and helps with sleep aid and anxiety.
I read this fantastic testimonial that you got from a patient, I guess, that it helped her with so many of her symptoms, and there were no side effects. And it seems that is treating a lot of the symptoms that those antidepressants, which are so popular with the pharmaceutical industry, are treating.
Drugs.
And that would be a good reason for them to get rid of it, because it would be a really probably less expensive alternative. And I don't know, it seems kind of obvious to me that would. So congratulations on getting, and on having the only one in the country, on the only one who can.
I think the only one in North America licensed. It's what we had to go through was, it changed the whole industry in Canada. People that were saying, well, we'll never get a license. Now they see that the CABA could be licensed. It gives the industry some hope that that we just don't have to accept everything and say, oh, well, because they classified it as such a dangerous product that we won't even take the product and use it. But we've got some wonderful products out there that have been demonized and are sitting there and not used because no one took the challenge. I mean, a pharmacy won't do it. A pharma won't go do it because you can't patent it, and so there's no money in it. But
hence, they must get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, they like it where it is. Hmm. They just don't talk about it, bury it, and, Will, you just take our stuff.
So sleeping pills are a gigantic industry in big pharma, and obviously something like CABA would be a threat to that. Who funds these bizarre little studies? Like recently, eugenol, which is found in citronella, was linked supposedly to cancer, causing tumors in rats. And yet other studies show that it's an anti-carcinogen. And Health Canada looked at this little study and started taking all the citronella, which is a mosquito repellent, off the market. And not only that, but now they have to have signs saying we do not carry repellent in the health food stores. I mean, it's iatrogenic. It's diseases caused by doctors. And obviously, there is vested interest involved in this kind of stuff. As far as I understand it, neither Health Canada nor the FDA actually conduct experiments. Who does these experiments? Who funds these kinds of experiments, like the one for CABA?
They rely on industry to supply that.
So the drug companies are funding the studies.
Yeah, I have an interview, a YouTube interview on PreventDisease.com, and it talks about product quality, and it's on the homepage in the top left-hand corner. And underneath my interview is an interview done by Sean Buckley, a constitutional lawyer here in Canada, and he talks about how Health Canada actually shut down one of their own testing facilities. It's a three-minute little video, but it's very well worth watching. So they don't even do their own testing, and they rely on pharma or whoever's doing the testing. And usually the ones with the money, because usually it costs about $300,000 minimum to do a triple-blind study to bring a product into the marketplace. And well, so far my wallet didn't have that amount.
Yeah.
Right on. You know, it's,
Do we have any last questions for Dr. Dahl? Because he's.
I wanted to say, Dr. Dahl, you know, I think, like I said, it's just wonderful you're doing this work. How can people get a hold of you, and what are the websites they should go to get information like this?
Our website is www.lifechoice.net.
Well, that's pretty simple.
Yeah, and from there we try to provide every possible means for the user to be educated.
Well, that's wonderful, and people need to know that, of course, medical doctors don't get any information in medical school about the healing properties of vitamins and herbs. They're basically told, you know, everything is treated by drugs. You know, Hippocrates, the founder of modern medicine, said, "Let food be thy medicine." And if I'm not mistaken, doctors still have to swear an oath when they do become doctors to, above all, do no harm. So it doesn't seem to me, it seems like everything is pretty off kilter. You write that there are two forces diametrically opposed. One is for freedom and one for domination. And the battle is on, and I really thank you very much on behalf of Powerhouse Radio for appearing on the show and getting some of this information out there to the public.
Dr. Dahl, thank you so much for your time today. It's a real pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
I just think we have a moral obligation within ourselves. If we have a knowledge to share, that we ought to do it. And that's why programs like yours are so very, very important, because they're right now you are like an oasis in the desert.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to quote one. I love this quote. It's from, you know, because you were talking about really transformation, and that's what healing is all about. And you write, "This transformation renews freedom to our inner child, and within our mind's eye, the Creator's vision is restored to our thirsting souls." Thank you so much, Dr. Dahl, for appearing on the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.